Hello, welcome to The Fat Lip, the podcast for fat people about fat people. I'm your fat host, Ash, as always. And on today's episode, I'm talking to Patrina, who is a listener who reached out to me a few weeks ago. Patrina spent several years going to Overeaters Anonymous, and she had a lot of experiences in that program that she wanted to talk about. And I feel like this is a thing that I think we're led to believe that a lot of fat people experience. Movies and TV all suggest that all fat people go to Overeaters Anonymous at some point. But I have actually never met a fat person that I know of who has gone to Overeaters Anonymous, and certainly not anybody that has spent as much time in the program as Patrina did. So I wanted to get her perspective on the program and how it affected her. So we had a really good conversation about it, and it was so interesting. So that's what's coming up. But before we start that, I wanted to talk about Big Fig, because actually the first thing that Patrina said to me when she when we got on our call was that she had received her Big Fig that actual day, and that it was so super comfortable and she already really loved it. So I wanted to talk about Big Fig really quickly before we even start, because I don't want to interrupt the Patrina story. Big Fig is the first mattress system designed specifically for larger people. It features the comfort of foam layers on top of 1,600 supportive coils, so it really gives you the best of both worlds. Plus, for those of us who are hot sleepers, totally me, it has a thermogel cooling layer on top to keep you nice and comfy. The Big Fig foundation supports 5 times the weight of a typical box spring, and you have to opt for the Big Fig frame because it's made of recycled railroad steel, and it's insanely sturdy. But you don't have to take my word for it, because Big Fig offers a generous 101-night trial with easy delivery and setup. Go to bigfigmattress.com to learn more and use the code FATLIP at checkout to get $100 off of your purchase and to let them know I sent you. Sleep better on the mattress that was made for your body with Big Fig.
I'm Katrina and I live in Pasadena, California. I'm a hairdresser for years and years, and I just turned 38 last weekend, actually.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks. So I actually grew up in Texas until I was 18, and then I ran screaming from the South and moved to Hollywood, California.
Yeah.
And I've been out here for about 20 years now.
Wow.
So I started, my mom definitely has some body stuff going on, and I got to participate in that when I was growing up. And her, like, all of my aunts are fat people, and my mom was always thin, and she kind of had to defend them.
Right.
So I think when she saw that I might be, like, a little rounder, she got really scared for me and, like, being picked on. And so that was, like, a big part. You know, I got to put on a diet really early. You know, I was probably still in elementary school, and my mom and I, it was the 80s, so we started doing, you know, aerobics workouts together, and I was on a very restrictive diet, and so, like, successfully, my mom was able to control my weight for most of my childhood, and we had a tough time, and it was something that we, like, could connect on, was how, you know, to control our bodies, how to diet.
Right.
And then I moved away, you know, I left Texas when I was 18, you know, partially because it was Texas, and I think partially because my mom and I were just had a really hard time together, so I just wanted to get the hell out. And I moved here, and my childhood, it included, like, my mom and I, you know, went to the diet doctor, we did every restrictive thing that was, like, allowed in the 90s. And then when I moved here in 99, it was the first time that I could, like, eat whatever I wanted, so I, like, quickly sort of gained weight. All the while, you know, I really had been taught that, like, it's not okay to be fat. And it affected, I would say it affected my relationships, my working life. Like, I just always, you know, I had issues with boundaries because I didn't think I got to have any because I was fat.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I excelled in my business. Like, I would take clients whenever. I never said no. All of these things that, you know, came to a head in my mid-20s, I started using crystal meth to control my weight. And that's, like, just a big part of my story about, and how much more, like, when I was thinner and using crystal meth, like, how much more socially acceptable that is than being a fat person.
Yeah.
And, like, how much more positive feedback I got and all of that stuff. And I got sort of into, like, the worst relationship in my life during this time period. I was also opening, like, my solo shop for the first time. I was starting a business. And just, like, everything fell apart. It was really a bad time. And I kind of pulled it together. I got out of the relationship. I got off the drugs. And I went traveling for a time. And then when I got back to L.A., I was like, okay, I'm going to finally handle this weight thing. I'm going to figure it out. And I just started asking people, like, for therapy recommendations. Like, is there someone that can fix my fat?
Yeah.
And I spoke to this woman that I worked with at the time, and she brought me to an OA meeting. I thought that was the answer. Let's see, I think it was 2 weeks before I was going to turn 30. So I thought, like, it's good timing. I'm 30. I'm going to turn over this new leaf. I'm going to finally be, like, you know, that thin person that I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I just really thought this was the answer. You know, I have family members that have a lot of time in other 12-step programs, and it's,
right,
you know, very much helped them in their life. And like, I'm super not religious. You know, I grew up around a bunch of Southern Baptists that were very difficult. I was very, like, anti-religion. So I had, you know, there's a lot of God talk in a way.
Yeah.
And so I had a very hard time with that. But I saw, you know, my first meeting, I saw this woman, and there's this thing in OA. So if you have lost over 100 pounds, you identify yourself in the meeting. You say your first name. You say you're a compulsive overeater. And then you say you're a 100-pounder, if that's part of your story, if you've lost over 100 pounds. And it's, you know, not a lot of people identify that way, but the woman that was speaking identified that way. And I was like, oh. And I don't know what size I was then, but I was definitely out of, like, store clothing. Like, there was nothing left at stores that fit me. And I was like, oh, my God, she's, like, a thin woman. And, like, maybe this will work. And I also wanted to, like, have working relationships in my life, which I didn't have at the time.
Yeah.
And so I thought that could heal the relationships. And I still thought that, you know, if I was thin, then I would have working relationships, which is not true. It was not true for me. Let me say that. And I did, you know, I came in and I never really saw myself as, like, someone who was a restrictor, because I never got to the right size when I was restricting with my mom. But I got in there and it just brought me right back into that fold of, like, dieting and, like, compulsively exercising. And it was, like, sort of spiritually sanctioned, right? Like, you're getting a connection to a higher power, quote unquote. And all of that is leading you to have, like, the right kind of body.
Yeah.
And I did, I spent the first 3 years in there. I, like, got in there. I got this very, you know, you work with a sponsor. I got this sponsor that was also a 100-pounder, and she was, like, a size 6 now. And I was like, oh, you have what I want. Let me work with you. And I spent 3 years, like, you know, there's different sort of food things you do in OA. And so I spent 3 years, like, literally weighing and measuring everything I ate. I had 3 meals a day with nothing in between. I would email, like, my food plan for the next day. I would email to her every night, and I would, like, eat what was on that food plan every day. And I basically did that for 3 years. And so I lost a ton of weight. You know, I was out of, like, the plus size realm, and I got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
You know, because you go to these meetings every week and you see these people and they watch you change. And so you kind of get this, like, weird VIP status, because people are like, oh, you got thin. Like, I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
And it's super powerful.
Yeah.
Um, Yeah, and more like almost more so than just like being a thin person in the world, like the fact that everyone sort of knows your story and that you used to be fat and now you're quote unquote thin. And
yeah, it's like you have magical powers while also being thin.
Yes, definitely. And you know, all the while in these meetings, we're like, oh, we're not here. You know, it's not about the vanity. It's about the sanity. It's about, you know, having working relationships and taking care of yourself and like being mentally well.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, and meanwhile, like, I also want to say that during this 3 years, I got into like one of the most emotionally abusive relationships in my life. And that lasted for, I don't know, a year and a half or so during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of opened up the box of like a lot of trauma that I hadn't looked at yet or was even aware of yet in my life,
yeah.
You know, in my early 30s. And for me, the way that program worked for me was I feel like there was a lot of denial that happened. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, I'm an addict, so I can't trust myself. So I have to defer to someone else. So even if I think this situation is not right for me and it doesn't feel right, I need to talk to my sponsor. I need to talk to three other fellows. I need to get other input because I'm broken and I can't trust myself.
Yeah.
And in my life, that's been like my hardest struggle is to really know that like I can trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if it's the wrong decision, it's still the right decision for me. If it's,
right.
If it's what I feel is the right decision. So all of that happened, and then, you know, I started gaining weight again, and I just could not restrict anymore that way. I mean, it was really, like, it was really extreme, you know, what I was doing with food.
Mm-hmm.
In this program that's sort of supposed to teach or treat eating disorders.
Right.
And so I spent the next 4 years, I guess, kind of in and out of program trying to like get back to that place that I had been that first 3 years. Like, let me just find the right sponsor. Let me work the steps in the right way. And then I'll be thin.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's something I'm still thinking about is like that, you know, I had always been a fat woman and I would say like a very fat woman my whole adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it makes me want to cry now. Like the relief that I felt then, you know, fitting in,
yeah,
and like being able to buy clothes wherever I wanted and all those things, right? Not having to worry about flying,
mm-hmm.
And where I'm going to sit at the restaurant and is the booth going to fit and all of those things, like the effing relief that I felt. And
yeah.
That's not, and like the more work I've done as the years have gone on, like that is not because being thin is the right thing. It's because our society is fat phobic.
Right. Right.
But, oh, my God, in my early 30s, I just thought, like, oh, this is going to be the answer. Like, I'm going to have a good relationship now. My business is going to take off. Like, everything's going to fall into place because I look how I should look, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, like, this disastrous relationship, I still didn't know how to set boundaries, all of these things. And I spent 4 years trying to recapture that, and finally I was just like, F this. Like, this is not working. And now I've spent, you know, let's see, I just turned 38. So I would say the last 2 years, I guess, kind of trying to unravel,
mm-hmm.
What my experience was in OA, in Overeaters Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, I mean, the thing that I found after spending 7 years sort of in those rooms, and getting to know the people that I was doing, you know, step work with and all of these things you do is, and I'm not going to speak about everyone, but a lot of people still didn't have working relationships.
Yeah.
A lot of people were able to, you know, stay a size six and their life was like a size six. Like it was so small because in order to maintain this body size, you know, they had to be at 5 meetings a week and they had to like not have too many social interactions and not
mm-hmm.
have, it just seemed, and ultimately I was like, that is definitely not what I want. Like
right.
I want to have real connections with people. That's what's most important. And that's really when I was just like, okay, I've got to go. And it really, for me, it just led me down this path of, it kind of took like the trauma that I had with food and body with my mom growing up and like amplified it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was such a familiar space to be in, it was like, let's weigh and measure all my food and obsess over my body and, you know, weigh myself however many times a week and all of these things that were like a drug. And it was like sort of sanctioned in this way of like, you're on the right path. And if you do these things, you're going to be spiritually whole. And it was just, I mean, ultimately it was more detrimental than good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think everything happens for a reason and we're on our paths, and I definitely had to go there to sort of be where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
But the fat phobia that happens inside of OA, I think is just, it's just not okay.
Yeah. It's interesting because, so I've never been to OA, and I think that like Hollywood would suggest that fat people, like that's what fat people do is go to OA. Like it seems like every fat person on every TV show or movie has at some point like gone to a group meeting, you know, like I just think of like This Is Us. I don't know if you watch that show, but she spends a lot of time. She spends a lot of time in like an OA type of environment. And like when I think of 12-step programs and I think of the OA that you see on those shows, it seems like a very holistic, like very empowering and supportive. And like when I think of like Alcoholics Anonymous, I think of like a program that's for healing. And hearing that so much of the focus of OA is on like they say it's about healing, but it's also about like being incredibly militant about your eating and restricting and that sort of thing in a way that is so unhealthy, like so emotionally unhealthy, is really kind of shocking, because like I have never thought about it, you know, because I've never had that experience. So to hear that, that's so shocking to me.
Yeah. And it's funny because there's all different, you know, backgrounds of people. There's people that have been anorexic and bulimic and, you know, very, very thin. And so it runs the spectrum. So these days, you know, OA used to have a very specific sort of quote-unquote abstinence, and now it's different for every person.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's still, if you are a fat person, the goal, you know, they even have terminology for it. What is it? It's a weight loss abstinence is what they call it, because obviously, like, you need to lose weight, because all of these biases are still holding strong in OA. Like, nobody's talking about diet culture being damaging. Nobody's talking about, you know, you can be fat and healthy, et cetera. And it's still, like, there's a sort of under-the-radar term that people use called fat serenity. And it's, like, this sort of derogatory thing of, like, oh, look at this person. They have, you know, their life is calm and happy and they have, you know, everything is good, but they're still fat. So do you want to have fat serenity? And it's been put to me that way before in program.
Wow.
And it's really, and I, you know, I don't like to talk about numbers, but I got to a very, like, I got to, like, a small weight for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, in, you know, straight sizes. And meanwhile, my sponsor was like, well, do you want to be a blank pound woman? Because maybe that's just what you are. And it was very, like, negative, because I was still at, like, the higher end of straight sizes, let's say.
Right.
And for me, I mean, this is my own journey of, like, setting boundaries for myself and saying, like, this is who I am and it's okay. But it was really, it just brought up all of that shame from growing up and like, oh, I'm still not the right size, which means clearly I'm not working this program hard enough. And there's all this fear mongering that like, if you leave, you're going to get fat, have a heart attack and die. You know, that's kind of the narrative. Or you're going to be bulimic and lose too much weight and die. Like, it's still just this, and that's what I remember when I broke up with my first sponsor, and this was her story. She had been in program for, 20 years and had times of being thin, had gained weight back, gone up and down. And she just said, I hope that you come back before you gain all your weight back. That's what she said to me when I said I was leaving.
Wow.
Like, it's the worst possible thing that could happen. So it just reinstilled this, that belief that, like, being fat is the worst thing that could happen to you.
Wow. That is incredible. And also, yeah, like, the fact that there are people that have struggled with anorexia and bulimia, it's interesting because it's like, OA wants you to be like between these two poles, but you can't get too close to either one or you're a terrible person. So
yes, definitely. It's definitely a moral
issue. So crazy. Wow.
Yeah. And I don't want to say that that's like the tenets of the 12 steps. Like, this is just what we have turned it into because our society, and also I live in LA, these meetings have a lot of actors, like known people in them that have a certain, physique to maintain. Like, there's definitely outside influences. I would say OA everywhere is not quite as extreme as it is in LA. The average person, the average size person here, is at the low end of the spectrum. And that's just how this town is.
Right. Of course.
So, but yeah, it was really, what's the word I'm looking for? The other thing that I've been coming to is it just really feels like, let me say, like, the 12 steps I think are very useful. It brings a lot of awareness. And also this sort of tenement of, like, you're an addict and you don't know, I think kind of glosses over, like, any trauma that we might have experienced.
Yeah. Yeah,
and sort of getting to the bottom of, like, why do I do the things I do? And is there a way to treat them? And I don't mean, like, in relation to being fat, just, like, why do I have the relationships I have? Why do I keep doing the same thing with, like, bad people? And
right.
I don't think it actually goes into any of that. It's kind of like, okay, it's there. Let's put it away.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like you're out of control, so we need to control you.
Yes, and I think, it's a big part of, like, our literature that we read, and it, you start to learn this stuff, right? Because you read it at every meeting and you read it at home. And so a big part of it is self-knowledge avails us nothing. That was, like, a big thing of, like, you can know why you overeat, but it's not going to fix anything. You can know why you have relationships like this, but it's not going to fix anything. Like, you just have to take contrary action. And the more work that I've done on myself, it just doesn't work that way.
No.
Like, for me, I've really had to, like, unpack my history to, like, figure out why do I keep, dating people who are emotionally abusive? Why do I keep picking these situations where I'm not valued? Mm-hmm. And none of that started to change until I really started to, like, unpack that with a mental health professional.
Right,
And it... I don't think this is everyone's experience, but I think it can be very detrimental, especially to those of us that are in fat bodies. Mm-hmm. It just felt very, like, marginalizing for me.
Yeah, because it's hard to walk into a room every day and know that your body is the enemy of everyone in that room.
Oh, God, that's the way to put it. Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're everything everyone in that room doesn't want to be.
That is exactly it. And it's like, right, we go through that every day in public, but it's, like, even more acute there.
Right, right. Because it's, like, focused. Like, when you're walking around a grocery store, if you're in a fat body, that many people at that grocery store are terrified of being what you are. But if you're, but if you go into a room with people who are talking about it and, like, actively rejecting what you are, that's so hard.
Oh, it's very hard. And it's, there's this low key, not in meetings, obviously, but, like, in, you end up being friends with a lot of people that are in program. And then it's like, oh, did you see so-and-so? She gained all her weight back. I wonder what's going on.
Well,
And, you know, I haven't seen her in the rooms and all of this stuff. I was like, oh, you're not doing the work. And that's why you got fat again.
Hmm.
yeah.
Wow. Well, so I am glad that you survived and that you are on the other side and are dealing with your trauma in a healthy way.
Thank you. I'm really grateful too. And that's just one more thing I wanted to add really quick is like, before I had gotten to program, I did a lot of sort of like body love work, you know, time in front of the mirror and looking at my body. And I remember I used to share that in meetings and people would just cringe. And there's like zero talk of like body love in the rooms.
Mm.
Even for like the thinnest people that like that it's still, I feel like a group of people that are just like hating their bodies.
Yeah.
No matter what they look like.
Wow.
So anyway.
And I imagine that like having that be such a huge part of your life that it would be hard to, even if you got thin, it would be hard to ever feel satisfied with yourself because you're just, because first of all, like, such a big part of your community is this group of people who, like, makes it their business to hate everything about their bodies. And so, like, even if you get to the point where, like, even if you're one of the very few people who could possibly get to the point where you're, like, the ideal body and shape, like,
right.
How do you, then you don't have anyone anymore. Like, you don't have your community anymore. So yeah. you just have to stay in that cycle of self-hatred in order to participate in this huge part of your identity at that point.
Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, that's very true. And that's what I found. I mean, I would even try to have those conversations with just my friends one-on-one about like, I want to love my body. And I did, you know, and I do. Like, I love my body. I think I'm sexy, like, regardless of what size I've been.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was not something people could relate to. And the idea of, like, doing that work just seemed so painful for the people that I would talk to that it was, like, not even on, you know, the agenda.
Yeah. Wow. This has been so eye-opening. Like, I guess I hadn't really thought about that. Because I've been to Weight Watchers meetings and everything, like when I was younger. And I would obviously never stayed in the program for nearly as long as you stayed in this program. But I guess I really thought of OA, like I think of like AA, where it's like a much more supportive and healing sort of environment.
Well, and I would say, like, I did get a lot of healing there. Like, I did get good things. And, like, ostensibly, like, it is supposed to be about spiritual healing and community and coming together. And I think those things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also because it's, like, a food body-related program and we live in the society we live in,
mm-hmm.
it's still all of those biases are, like, coming into play at every meeting.
Right,
so, like, when
right.
the 600-pound person comes in, it's like, oh, they're at death's door, and thank God they're at a meeting. And, like, you know, that's not what we say, but this
right.
is clearly, like, the thought.
Yeah, of course.
And it's that, you know, and I got this, too. Like, when I got thinner and I would see, like, my fat friends, I'm like, oh, come to a meeting with me. Like, it will fix you. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, because obviously society like affects what we do inside the meetings as well.
Of course, of course.
And so I don't want to paint a picture that like, it, you know, there was good things and there's a lot of fat phobia that goes on.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, this has been fascinating. And I'm so glad that you are on the other side of it.
Thank you so much. Me too.
Thank you so much to Petrina for coming on the show today and for talking about your experience with a program that I don't have a lot of experience with and offering a perspective that I hadn't heard before. Also, thank you to our sponsor, Big Fig. Go to bigfigmattress.com, use the code FATLIP on checkout to get $100 off. And thank you to Star Crusher. Why am I having so much trouble remembering to thank Star Crusher after 2 years of this? Thank you to Star Crusher for the music you heard on today's show and the music you're hearing right now. Music in every episode. Star Crusher is a champion and he's been with us from the beginning. So thank you. Go to seestarcrusher.bandcamp.com to hear more. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. The Patreon supporter of the day is Molly. Thank you, Molly, for being a Patreon patron, for making this podcast possible with your dollars. If you would like to become a Patreon patron, go to patreon.com/thefatlip to find out how. I really need to make a new video. That video is 2 years old. And I'll probably still have to use a cheese box to prop up my camera. Some things never change. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow on social media. I'm most active on Instagram these days. Sometimes I post stories about skincare. That's what I've been doing lately. But yeah, Instagram's where I'm most active, so follow on there. My Instagram tag is Fatlip Podcast. And also follow on Twitter and Facebook and all those things. You can find all those links at thefatlip.com all the way at the top. Okay, thanks for listening, and I'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.